From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. A U.S. defense spokesman Tuesday said a U.S. drone strike last week killed al-Qaeda leader Abu Afghan al-Masri in northwestern Syria.
Al-Masri, an Egyptian, originally joined al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and later moved to its Syrian affiliate. He had ties to terrorist groups operating throughout Southwest Asia, including groups responsible for attacking U.S. and coalition forces in Afghanistan and those plotting to attack the West.
Peter Cook said al-Masri's removal from the battlefield November 18 is another blow to al-Qaeda in Syria. Meanwhile, U.S. spokesman John Kirby says Secretary of State John Kerry spoke Tuesday by phone with his Russian counterpart, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, about Syria.
The Secretary and the Foreign Minister talked about the importance of continuing to work towards a cessation of hostilities in trying to find ways to get that cessation of hostilities in a place where it can lead to a resumption of political talks and to try to build a framework that can make sense for that cessation of hostilities to actually work.
Meanwhile, monitors in and near the embattled city Aleppo report Russian-backed Syrian forces are pushing deeper into opposition-occupied neighborhoods. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said they pounded the area with airstrikes and barrel bombs as ground troops advanced in the key eastern district of Masakin Hanano. A report quoting a military source said at least six Cameroonian soldiers were killed Monday in an attack by Boko Haram militants on a Lake Chad army base manned by a regional anti-insurgent force. Meanwhile, UN official Toby Lanzer warned that up to a million people around Lake Chad are cut off from humanitarian aid by Boko Haram. And jihadist fighters are said to be overrunning villages near the northeastern Nigerian town of Chibok, forcing hundreds of residents to flee. Local officials describe the town as under siege. This is VOA News. In an interview with the New York Times published Tuesday, President-elect Donald Trump said he would keep an open mind about pulling the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement on climate change, but he said he's considering its impact on American business. Mr. Trump also appeared to soften his campaign rhetoric in prosecuting his Democratic rival, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, over her handling of classified information on a private computer. Mr. Trump is quoted as saying he doesn't want to hurt the Clintons. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, a close aide to Mr. Trump, said he's not surprised.
Look, there's a tradition in American politics that after you win an election, you sort of put things behind you. And if that's the decision he reached, that's perfectly consistent with sort of a historical pattern of things come up, you say a lot of things, even some bad things might happen, and then you can sort of put it behind you in order to unite the nation.
However, Mr. Trump said he may continue to investigate the Clintons' charitable foundation for possible wrongdoing. And Mr. Trump has reportedly offered former Republican rival Dr. Ben Carson the post of Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. The Obama administration has approved a second license to the European Aviation Consortium Airbus for the sale of dozens of commercial aircraft to Iran. It's part of the international nuclear deal reached with Tehran that eased international sanctions. The decision came as Republican lawmakers urged President Obama to refrain from boosting international investment in Iran before Mr. Trump takes office. White House spokesman Josh Earnest said the Airbus decision was a long time in coming.
The kinds of actions that we have taken in implementing the deal are the kinds of actions that have had to go through a rather extended process. So I can confirm for you that I do not anticipate any actions being taken that were initiated after the election solely in response to Mr. Trump's victory.
Mr. Trump has long been critical of the Iran nuclear agreement. U.S. approval of the Airbus deal required since some parts were made in the U.S. A revised peace agreement between the Colombian government and rebels of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, is to be signed Thursday and sent to Congress for approval. President Emeritus and Senior Fellow Peter Huckam of the Washington-based Inter-American Dialogue said the deal is not universally supported.
But it will almost surely get the support of Congress, and it will go into effect, and they will begin to implement it.
The agreement, rejected by the Colombian people in a referendum last month, aims to bring the hemisphere's longest-running civil war to an end. The International Committee of the Red Cross says civilians in the embattled Yemeni city Taiz are trapped by sniper fire and indiscriminate shelling. It described dead bodies lying in the streets, hundreds wounded in the past 3 days. The fighting followed Monday's collapse of a 48-hour truce. Despite opposition, South Korea signed an intelligence-sharing agreement with Japan over North Korea. I'm Victor Beatty reporting.
That's the latest world news from VOA.